Parshas Nosai is generally read the Shabbos after Shavuos. This year is unique because it's a Ibra year, and therefore it comes out later. But generally speaking, it's either the Shabbos before or the Shabbos immediately following Shavuos. And the Haftarah is the fascinating story of this childless couple, Manoach and his wife, whose name I can never remember, but it's an interesting one. And the Malach appears to Mrs. Manoach and tells her that she's going to have a kid, and she should not drink wine or eat anything that comes from a grape, and she can't come into contact with death. And he's going to save Klal Yisrael from the Plishtim. And we know that this child grows up to become Shimshon HaGibor and indeed saves Klal Yisrael from the Philistines. And Manoach is kind of upset that he missed the show. So he wants to meet the Malach also. He meets the Malach, and the Malach tells him that first the angel appears to Mrs. Manoach again, and she runs and gets her husband. And he says, "Are you the one who spoke to my wife?" And he says, "Yes, I am." And he says, "Tell me what's going to be here." And the Malach tells him, in the Manoach's words were, "At yoved v'recha ma'yeh mishpatanar maseo." Manoach says, "Now, your words shall come true. What should be the conduct of the lad and his behavior?" Okay? So he asks him specifically, "What do I need to do with the kid?" What does the angel answer? And the angel says to Manoach, "Everything I spoke to the woman, to your wife, she should keep." Meaning, she should not eat any grapes, she shouldn't eat any, and she has to stay away from tummy. He didn't ask about his wife. Huh? That's because it's a nazir. So he asked, "What do I do with the kid?" Manoach's answer is about Mrs. Manoach, not about the kid at all. So the Bali Musar tell us that this was a chinuch lesson, and that was, if you want your kid to grow up in a certain way, do it yourself. Don't preach to the kid. But he was telling Mrs. Manoach, if you want your kid to grow up a Nazir, then be a Nazir. They say that the somebody came to the Kotzker for a bracha that his kid should grow up to be a Talmud Chacham. And the Kotzker's response was, "Stop running around for brachas and go sit down and learn. You want your kid to be a Talmud Chacham, your kid's going to do what you do." He said, "The only guarantee I have to you for your kid, if you're going to run around to get brachas, is that your kid is going to be running around to get brachas. You want to be a Talmud Chacham, sit down and learn." Which led me to the next observation, which was, Manoach says to the Malach, "What's your name? Because when your words come true, then I want to be able to honor you." To which the Malach says, "Why are you asking my name? Hupeli, it's hidden." And then the Pasuk says that when the angel disappears and he no longer appears to Manoach, then Manoach knew ki Malach Hashem. Manoach knew that he was an angel. So, what do we learn from this? So I remember seeing that on the concept of mitzvah gereris mitzvah, that one mitzvah leads to another one, that really what happens is the person creates a virtual malach when they perform a mitzvah. That malach draws the person to future mitzvah performances. So you can see it as a force or a literal angel, whatever it might be. There's a force which is created that draws a person to continue. That is, if the person is the cause, meaning if I did a mitzvah, so the force that I brought into existence with my mitzvah performance draws me to do another mitzvah. However, if a person is gifted an experience from above for which they did nothing to cause it, then that's not something that we can benefit from in the future, because it's not anything we did. You find the concept of the Avos and the Imois, that their midos were transmitted to future generations, because that which they did with Mesiras Nefesh, what they created in their own self-sacrifice, became so much part of themselves that it literally became part of the genes of Klal Yisrael. And there's different gradations of levels. There's some things that go for two generations, there's something that goes for three generations, there's some things that are very short-lived. Whatever the case is, what is a gift from above, that's not something that we can bequest to our future generations. Now, the Manayach and his wife have this vision. They get this awesome experience of a Malach who appears to them. And Manayach gets a very bad rap. I'm not exactly sure why, but he doesn't get such a good rap in Chazal. Whatever the case is, Manayach turns to the angel and kind of says to him, "Tell me, what's your name so that I can honor you?" Meaning, what he's really saying is, if there's a certain aspect of a mitzvah or something that I did that was the cause of your coming into being, I want to know who you are. You know, are you tefillin? Are you tzitzis? Are you Shabbos? Like, who are you? So that I can honor you, meaning I want to invest in this mitzvah further if it's something that I did that resulted in this experience. I would like to, I want to be able to honor you. I want to invest further so that I can further glean and benefit from the benefits of this mitzvah. To which the angel responds and says to him, "What are you asking my name for? Oh, Peli, this has nothing to do with you, Manayach. This isn't anything you did. He's a Malach Hashem." Meaning there are times where it has nothing at all to do with anything that you did. Rather, it was an experience. It was a gift from above. Where is the distinction? The distinction is, can we benefit from it in the future? Is this something that we can bank on? Is it something that our children will be able to bank on? So the Navi says that when V'lo Yosef Oid Malach Hashem Lehirois Al Manayach, this angel never again appeared to Manayach and his wife. Oz Yoda Manayach, and then Manayach knew Ki Malach Hashemu, that this was not an angel that he created, but it was an angel that was one of God's angels. So there's two types of angels in the world. There are the angels that we create, and there are the angels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. The angels we create reappear in our experience. The angels that Hashem creates, that Hashem sends, are not something that we can bank on. So Manayach knew the moment that this angel stopped appearing, Manayach knew that it was not anything that he can take advantage of. Jerry Glazer pointed out to me afterwards that it's interesting that this very conversation takes place with Yaakov Avinu. When the angel appears to Yaakov, he also asks him what his name is. And it could very well be that that's where Manayach kind of got that precedent from. The distinction was that Yaakov Avinu's angels were angels that appear and reappear and reappear, because those are angels that Yaakov Avinu created. Although there were instances there as well that Yaakov Avinu didn't want to benefit from he didn't want to take advantage of benefiting from the schar of those angels. So the chinuch lesson I shared with the Eilim yesterday, there was a couple who came to the Tzriska Magid who didn't have children. And the Tzriska Magid would demand big bucks for a bracha. Many of the Chernobyl kinder demanded large sums of money for a... You wanted a good bracha, it cost you. So they say that he asked once for rubles, kiminyan pakoid pakadati. Pakoid pakadati are all big numbers. There's pays and kufs and tufs. There's a lot of money in pakoid pakadati. Anyway, so he said to this couple, you know, you want a bracha for children? Fine. I need rubles, kiminyan pakoid pakadati. I'm reminded that in Israel, there was a Rebbe who was the Machnifka Rebbe. Machnifka survived communist Russia and came out of Russia in the 1960s. He was there up until then. Well, Mesiras Nefeshid, a tremendous Mesiras Nefeshid, lived in Bnei Brak and had a very, very interesting personality. It was a mass middle. Whenever you walked in, he was learning. But it was a, you know, due to his struggles in life, he had a certain edge about him. And Lezer and Bela were newlyweds, and they paid a visit to the Machnifka, and he said, it was a lot of money for them at the time. I think it was $250. And for a young Kola couple in the 80s, it was a lot of money. And they didn't have it at the time, but Lazer was so petrified of this guy that he ran out and borrowed the money and brought it in right away. I had my own interesting interaction with him at one point. So this was a tradition that carried on into our own times. Anyhow, so Tuska Magid demanded this huge sum of money, and this woman, you know, now that she gave the money, felt that she had the right to make demands. So she said to him, Rebbe, once I'm paying that amount of money, I want a child like the Rebbe. So he looked up at her, and he said to her, my mama is giganyan ashenet eshlaya, which literally translates, my mother wore a nicer kerchief, a more beautiful kerchief. Now, there are various ways that one can interpret those words. I mean, I think the simple meaning is the Yuana Erlecha kids, the tznius of a woman, is that which contributes to good children. There's a very explicit zayir about specifically about hair and woman's hair and the quality of children. Perhaps on a deeper level, I think that he may have been addressing the attitude towards tznius, meaning what somebody could wear a shlaya, or somebody could wear a beautiful shlaya, and it shows what somebody's attitude is towards those restrictions. If, you know, somebody makes a point of enhancing the mitzvah of tznius to the point where it's something that they're proud of, well, that conveys a different message to a child. Anyway, be that as it may, that's what the Malach was saying to Manoach. You know, you want to know my name? You want to know how you could honor me? You think you had your contribution in this? I'm a Malach Hashem. This had nothing to do with you. This is a gift from above. And the moment it was over, it was over. They had no relationship in the future with this angel. Now, clearly, they must have had some incredible merit to be the parents of Shimshon. You know, they must have done something in life that they had that benefit. And on top of that, not only to be Shimshon's parents, but to have the privilege to meet up and have a conversation, you know, with an angel. It's that famous story with the farmer. And this fellow pulls up and his car dies on the side of the road near this farm, and he opens the hood and he hears a voice that says, it's your carburetor. And he's absolutely shocked and lifts his head up because there's nobody around. He thinks he's losing it and puts his head back in and says, I'm telling you, it's the carburetor. He picks his head up again and there's a cow standing there. Anyway, he completely freaks out. He goes running for the farmhouse. He's panting, he gets there, knocks on the door, and the farmer comes and says, what's wrong? He says, well, my car broke down over there, and there's this cow there, and the cow said it's my carburetor. And he says, is it a cow like with a interesting blotch on its forehead. And the guy says, yeah. He says, ah, that's Bessie. She doesn't know anything about cars. Right? I mean, you're having a conversation here with an angel, right? Manoach, and they see this angel, and this angel goes up in a lahav, goes up in a flame of fire, and you know, there's got to be something that these people did to bring themselves to a level where they're having conversations with angels. Anyhow, the bottom line is what's our relationship post or pre Kabbalah Satorah to how we are going to convey the attitude of Kabbalah Satorah for ourselves in the future and for our children? What's the, you know, is this angel going to evaporate and ascend heavenward without leaving any remnant for us to be able to bank on? Or conversely, are we somehow making it part of our experience so that it's ours and that we can come back to it and nash from it and glean from it and derive strength and be able to benefit from the power of the mitzvah even after the experience has passed? That was the first issue.